And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. The pilot of a small plane was seriously injured after crashing on Sunday evening. The plane went down near Excursion Inlet, about 35 miles outside of Juneau. Coast Guard personnel responded after receiving an alert from the plane's emergency transmitter. First responders found the wrecked single-engine plane and rescued the pilot, who was the sole passenger. The injured pilot was transported back to Juneau in critical condition. They are now receiving emergency medical treatment. And pinball tournaments are a new thing in Alaska, and Juneau already has a few rising stars. KTOO's Yvonne Crumry went to one and has this story.
Rebecca and Henry Kephart stand outside the Crystal Saloon smoking with boxes of pizza. 9 years ago, they fell in love over pinball machines.
And we went, one of our dates was we went and played pinball, and he beat me, and no one's ever beat me at pinball, so I decided I should marry him.
Now they're finishing fourth and fifth in Juneau's new tournaments. They just want to beat each other.
What's your favorite part about coming to these tournaments?
Whipping my wife's butt.
Upstairs at the Barricade, a games bar above the Crystal Saloon, David Elrod starts the tournament, enforces the rules, and just about smokes the other players. Elrod started organizing pinball tournaments in April in Juneau after falling into the sport in California. This is the first year Alaska is entering the world's pinball arena with the International Flipper Pinball Association, which publishes online rankings for players in the state and all over the world. That group is run by the Sharp brothers, Zach and Josh. They revived the association in the early 2000s, and it's grown far more than they expected. Josh Sharp says he loves the way that the tournaments unite people, even those trying hard to beat each other, like the Kepharts.
We're both like fighting this machine, and there's really a sense of camaraderie and support, even among people, you know, playing against other people.
And he loves to see pinball growing in places like Alaska, because he believes the people who start playing will form their own communities in the sport.
If we can find someone to sort of like pull into our little family, it's usually safe that they'll find two more people, and then those people will find two more people.
Elrod, the Juneau tournament organizer, is the top-ranked player in Alaska, but he wants to generate some competition and to share the love of the sport with others.
I get feedback a lot about how people just, especially a lot of people who are introverts and don't normally come out very much, and just found like this community that they get to go to, which is what was always really important to me.
Since he started the tournaments in April, 70 people in Anchorage and Juneau have jumped in. Elrod said that's more than states with far more people, like Hawaii. And Juneau players are catching up to Elrod.
Like in the final round of the final game, it was three of us tied for first. I was like, this is when you lose one finally, David.
Upstairs, the tournament took a turn. Rebecca played a very strong final round on the hardest machine, the Hulk. She came in second, beating the three other players left in the tournament by a lot. Her husband was almost as excited as she was.
You beat David? No way. No way.
No way.
No way.
But with a strong lead going into that round, Elrod won again that night. The top 16 players in the state will get a chance to duke it out for number one in Sitka in January. If the current rankings stand, 11 of those players will be from Juneau. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
Getting rid of garbage in Southeast Alaska has always been expensive. And recently, a significant increase in waste disposal costs has Petersburg looking for alternatives, locally and regionally. But the logistics of dealing with trash in the isolated island community mean there are no easy answers. KFSK's Hannah Floor has the story.
It's trash day on Noceum Street in Petersburg. Kelly Davis is driving the garbage truck. She's been on the job less than a year, but she already has lots of stories about the things she sees in garbage cans.
And I opened it up and it was a dead chicken. I'm like, ah!
That's right, a dead chicken.
Shut the lid, and I was with Mikey, and I'm like, there's a chicken in there! And he's like, oh yeah, it happens. I'm like, God, gross.
That chicken is just a tiny portion of the millions of pounds of garbage that Petersburg gets rid of each year. And the borough just signed a trash disposal contract that's 34% more expensive than the last one. Now they're hoping to find ways to lower costs for customers in the remote town with already sky-high living expenses. But trash disposal in Southeast Alaska is expensive and complicated. Because it's an archipelago, towns can't just truck their garbage down the highway to a shared landfill. A lot of municipalities compress their trash into giant blocks called bales and barge it down to the lower 48. Chris Cotta is director of public works in Petersburg.
Shipping prices at this point in time are the biggest challenge that we have across the region.
The increased cost of Petersburg's new waste disposal contract won't be passed on to residents this year. But higher costs will eventually mean higher prices for customers. One of the easiest solutions is simply throwing away less. Cotta estimates that nearly half of baled trash could be composted or recycled.
It's safe to say it's a really significant portion of what goes into a garbage can could be diverted in some fashion, either converted to compost or put into a recycling stream and reused as something else.
The local tribe, the Petersburg Indian Association, already has a small composting program. Cotta is working with the tribe to look into the possibility of expanding the program for the whole community. But Cotta and others are also exploring region-wide solutions. Over a decade ago, 8 municipalities in Southeast banded together to look at possibilities. Cotta is acting chair of the group called the Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority, or CSWA. He says that while Juneau, Sitka, and Ketchikan are not yet members of CSWA, he hopes they'll join eventually.
If we could get some of the larger communities to join up and be part of CSWA, I do think we'd have a lot more bargaining power.
He says that if most communities in Southeast join CSWA, together they may be able to bring down the price for future contracts with shipping companies. They're interested in exploring other ideas as well. When CSWA looked at solutions about a decade ago, they found baling and shipping garbage south to be the most effective. That's why many communities moved to that model. Bacata says increased shipping costs have changed that calculation. He's also curious whether new technologies could be a part of the solution. In Petersburg, the coming price increase for most customers will only be the equivalent of a few cups of coffee each month. That might not seem like a lot, but Cotta is concerned. He says if garbage prices go up too much, some customers just won't pay.
We end up with a situation where garbage is being tossed in the woods or collecting on properties because people can't afford to get rid of it.
And for organizations that produce a lot more trash than the average household in Petersburg, the cost really does add up. CSWA plans to apply for funding to conduct a study this fall. They hope it will help determine the best path forward for Southeast Alaska. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Floor.
And a new initiative that retrieves e-waste from communities across rural Alaska says they collected and recycled over 145,000 pounds of lead-acid batteries from 45 communities last year. Backhaul Alaska came out of an idea from Senator Lisa Murkowski and now receives federal grant money to address the challenge of getting hazardous waste out of rural Alaska communities. Riley Kaczynski works for Zender Environmental, a nonprofit that manages the backhaul program. He says waste management is uniquely challenging in much of the state.
You know, Alaska, many of our small communities are roadless. You know, they might only have access to barge one or two times a year. And there's just the lack of infrastructure to deal with waste in the same manner that folks in the lower 48 do.
Kaczynski says Alaska has a special exemption to use Class 3 landfills, which are unlined and involve minimal mitigation. That leaves the surrounding environment more susceptible to pollution. As batteries break down, the toxic lead can seep into drinking water. Or if they're burned, which Kaczynski says is still common, the chemicals are released into the air.
So it just makes it more important to kind of keep those potentially harmful things from going into the landfill in the first place.
The program trains local residents to safely consolidate hazardous materials and other e-waste, and then coordinates discount backhaul shipments on cargo ships or planes. Kaczynski says the waste is then delivered to certified recycling programs in the lower 48. 2022 was the first official year of the initiative. And Kaczynski says it's looking like they may collect even more e-waste this year. For more stories, you can check out ktlo.org.